Now, readers of the Bible, and I include the readers of the Bible in the Jewish tradition, in the Christian traditions, in secular humanist traditions that read the Bible, understood these references to Baal, the reference that we had in the story in Numbers, the reference in Gideon, the reference here. They understood these references to be linked to the idea of the Baal as the master, the owner. And they understood that this was a local deity. Whatever the place was, they would say, there's a Baal of this place. That was the general understanding. What we now understand from the ancient Near Eastern mythological texts is that Baal was actually the name of a deity. Baal was a great god as they understood it. The god might have local manifestations, but the understanding was that he was a great grand figure. He was the god of fertility and of storms. I mentioned that his shrines were on high places. When we move to the north of the land of Israel, into Lebanon and Syria, where there are mountains, there were shrines on the mountains to Baal. And the story of Elijah and the priests of the Baal is set on a mountain in northern Israel, the mountain of Carmel. There, the priests offer a sacrifice, but their gods don't answer them. Elijah also offers a sacrifice, but his God does answer him. When the priests are disgraced and Elijah is proved right, Elijah is proved correct, Elijah and the Israelites kill the priests. Now, this story, which I've just summed up in a couple of sentences, is told in great elaborate detail in the Bible, and I'm going to read a short opening section of this story of Elijah and the Baal priests, so we can focus on the details that tell us something about what the Israelites understood this cult, in the sense of method of worship, what they understood this cult to be. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." A central idea in the Bible: there cannot be more than one God. Not like the systems of the Mesopotamians, of the Egyptians, and of the Canaanites themselves, where you can have multiple gods, and you can have local gods, and you can have competing gods, and as we'll see in other texts in the coming lectures, you can have warring gods. No, you have to make up your mind. There are no two opinions. There is only one opinion. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. The people did not answer him a word. Silence. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God." Well, this is an experiment of a sort. It says, let us prove who the real God is. Elijah is saying to the Israelites, I am not asking you to decide as a matter of faith. I'm asking you to watch what happens. I'm going to give you evidence. These priests of the cult I call false are going to prepare a sacrifice. I am going to prepare a sacrifice. Let's see which sacrifice God chooses, and how will that be done? By sending a fire.